Life's good.
Never on.
Whoa.
Hard. Hard reset.
Come on, Brent.
Life's good.
Got real close.
The hair high, right?
Trying to hit two thirds.
Have they saved it for her? Yes, they have.
Welcome to Game of Stones, everybody. I am Sean Graham, Scott alongside, as always. Hello, Scott.
Sean, I have a great idea.
Love it. Let's hear it.
Okay. So Olympic curling, we're all set. You know, we've been watching mixed doubles, but four-person game, this is what's up.
Yeah.
Last week, we talked about what to listen for on curling commentary. Mm-hmm. I think what we need to do is put out a curling commentary bingo card on our Instagram, have people play it, see who can get the first bingo.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
It's the first one I've had. You've got to, you know, get a lot of bad ideas to get a good one. I think this is a good one.
I like it. I do like it. Yeah. I think too, with the TSN one, it'd be very easy to come up with some stuff. But yeah, the CBC stuff could be a little different. The IOC feed makes it a little harder to predict certain things. So yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, and I did also read that Chelsea Carey and Joan McCusker were going to be there as part of the Olympic Broadcasting Services on site. So
nice.
They won't be calling the games here in Canada, but you'll hear their voices if you're listening to any of the international feeds.
Very nice. Good job, yeah. Joan. Coming back. I love it.
Yeah. Jennifer who?
Yeah. Well, they have a new show, her and Brent.
Oh.
New pod.
Oh, man. Are we going to get bumped down the rankings again?
Yeah, we'll get bumped down the rankings. But Scott, rising tides, man.
Oh, yeah. A rising, you know? A high tide raises all boats.
Exactly. Right. So I'm into it. Let's do this thing. Yeah. So Brent Lang and Jennifer Jones have joined the podcasting environs.
Well, welcome. I, for one, say welcome to our new podcasting overlords.
So a lot going on in the world of curling. As Scott mentioned, mixed doubles is ongoing as we are releasing this. I hope everyone's enjoying that. Been watching a bunch of it. Not going to comment on what's been going on. We'll wait till it is done, and we'll talk about the results of mixed doubles next week. Because Scott, we got 20 teams, 10 men's, 10 women's, who are raring to go to join the mixed doubles competitors, or take over from the mixed doubles competitors once they are done and wrapped up. Scott, we're going to talk about all 20 of them, and I have ordered them based on the position on the world curling rankings, as we did during our mixed doubles preview. Scott, do you want to start with the men or with the women?
I have my sheet with the men's teams up, so let's start there.
All right, let's start with the men, and we will start with the first ranked team. Actually, before we get into that, format, 10 teams, 9-game round robin, played over 47 days, and the way it'll work is the top four teams will make the playoffs. No tiebreakers, of course. It is head-to-head if it's a tie between two teams. If it's a tie between three teams and they have all beat each other, or three or more teams, and it's even in terms of the distribution of wins, it will go to last stone draw to determine the playoff teams. First place four, second place third. Winners play each other in the gold medal game. Losers play each other in the bronze medal game. A much simpler format, Scott, than most world curling events.
Yeah. It is pretty simple. Not confused by it at all.
Yeah. So for that, we enjoy and we appreciate that that change. I do joke about, obviously, the actual schedule of it all, but the curling itself for the four-person kicks off Wednesday the 11th with the men's tournament playing in the evening, and then full round-robin competition all the way through Thursday the 19th. Semifinals for the men take place also on Thursday the 19th. Semifinal for the women on the 20th. The bronze medal game for the men also on the 20th. And then the men's tournament will wrap up with its gold medal game Saturday, the 21st. The women's bronze medal game will be the same day. And wrapping it up for the curling in the Olympics, the day of the closing ceremonies on Sunday, the 22nd, it'll be the women handing out the gold medal for that competition. So, Scott, 18 days.
Oh, my
consecutively
God.
Consecutively.
18 Olympic days, 20 curling. Teams. Man.
Well, no, that includes the mixed doubles.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Still, that's a long time.
Yeah, 11 days for 20 teams. Well, 12 days, excuse me.
12 days. It's really the playoffs that drag.
They're stretched out. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't need to do them over the course of 3 days. 4 days, really.
Between really? Yeah. Yeah.
So that's, it's way too stretched out. We talked about this during the preview as well. Just put in a fifth sheet. Just do
yeah.
it.
Yeah, just right. do it.
Teams don't need a full day off. Sorry, John Schuster, and your walk through Pyongyang, but
well,
you know, didn't need it.
Might be, you know, saved him, saved his Olympics, saved USA curling.
It was very useful, but it does start to feel a little stretched out once we get to the mid halfway part of the men's and women's round robin.
Yeah, especially for the teams that are not in contention for the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
You might think they'd be like, all right, let's, come on.
Let's
I want to like go and do Olympic stuff.
I want to go party.
Enjoy my experience, but I can't because I still have a game. It's like when you have an exam scheduled on the last day before the break.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, come on.
And you've already failed the course.
Exactly.
You want to fully enjoy that university experience. Yeah. So so there's the setup. That's the schedule. So let's get into it. We'll start with the men's side. As I mentioned, the top ranked team in the world, it is Team Great Britain from Scotland. Bruce Mowat, Grant Hardy, Barbie Lammy, and Hammy McMillan. Of course, Bruce Mowat currently participating in the mixed doubles competition. This was the Olympic team for Great Britain back in 2022. They went 8-1 in the round robin, lost to the Americans in the round robin. That was their only loss. They did, though, redeem themselves by beating the Americans in the semifinal, but lost 5-4 to Sweden, Niklas Edin in the final. So they are your defending silver medalist. In the time since the 2022 Olympics, they have emerged as the best team in the world. They are the 2023-2025 world champions. They have won two slams so far this year. They are 57-12 on the season. And Scott, I think for everything that we can talk about Bruce Mowat, Grant Hardy, in terms of shot making, strategy, communication, to me, what sets this team more apart from everybody else in the field is Bobby Lammy and Hammy McMillan. I think they are the best sweepers in the field. I think they are the best sweepers in the world. And that gives this team such a leg up.
Yeah. Brett Gallant and Ben Hebert might have something to say about that, but Hammy and Lammy are, you know, that much younger, and that makes a difference at this level. Mm-hmm. Not to mention they're also really excellent throwers.
Yeah.
So, Sean, I pulled all the stats the same way I pulled for the Scotties preview. Team Mowat, the highest hammer efficiency in the field at 53%. They're converting 53% of the time when they've got hammer. Take that in combination with their steal defense, only giving up a steal 13% of the time, leaves them with a hammer factor of 0.4. Just 13 is the second lowest in the field, and the hammer efficiency is the highest in the field. So by proxy, you can assume that they have the highest hammer factor. They also are stealing at 28%, forcing at 55%. So add those two together, 83% of the time you're not giving up a deuce.
Yeah, pretty good.
Pretty good. They're the best team in the field for all of those stats. My points for per game and points against per game seems to have been corrupted in a recent build I made, but I did still get the same record, and I did corroborate that the hammer efficiency and all the efficiency stats are still correct. So yeah, Sean, this team should be the favorite, and I think they are the betting favorite. So expect them to be in the playoff. I would be shocked if they don't make the Final Four.
Yeah, me too. Totally agree. All right, Scott, let's move then to the second ranked team in the world. That is Switzerland, and it is skipped by Yannick Schwaller. He throws the third stones, also participating in the mixed doubles at the moment. The fourth stone thrower is Benoit Schwartz van Berkel. Front end, Sven Michel and Pablo Lachey-Couchepin. Benoit Schwartz van Berkel was there in 2022 with Peter de Cruz. That team went 4-5 in the Olympic Games. At the most recent World Championship in 2025, this team went 9-3. That was good for second place in the round robin. They beat China in the semifinal, but lost to the aforementioned Scottish team in the final. This season, they are 46-16. At the European Championship this year, some pretty impressive stats in that they scored 23 twos in their 11 games, only gave up 11. That's only one per game is pretty good, but something to keep an eye on here. Makes sense because they're generating so many multiple scores in that event. They also gave up 11 steals. So good on offense. You're giving up a little bit on defense, which makes sense, but you're going to have to be a little careful in this field where all of these teams can capitalize on little mistakes. So it's good to be aggressive. It's good to get points on the board. It's a more exciting thing for people watching, but you got to be careful and make sure you're not getting away from ends too much and bailing maybe when you need to, because 11 steal, like giving up a steal a game or more than a steal a game, at the Euros there, that's not what you want to see.
No, you're right. And they've like sneaky had a really, really, really good season. Would you agree with me on that? Like,
yeah, no, I agree. They haven't stood out really at much, but they've had a great season for sure.
Yeah. And they beat Bruce Mowat at the last Grand Slam. You mentioned the record, just really quite good. Looking at some of the underlying stats, their force efficiency, 58%, really good. They're with hammer factor, so adding up their force efficiency plus their steel efficiency is almost as high as Bruce Mowat's, one tick lower there. So they're really doing a pretty good job on defense overall. You mentioned at the Euros it was a little bit less. Their steel defense again, yeah, not so great. So they've given up steals 17% of the time. But overall, this team is playing really well, and I think peaking for this event. So not a team that I think before we would have said is a lock for the podium, but the way they're playing, I'm leaning that way.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I've always been kind of skeptical of this team, but as you say, sure, sneaky good this year. So, you know,
John, they rode in the back of the plane, which was pretty impressive to me. So,
yeah, I mean, anyone who's going to, you know, go and do that, that's good on them. They did in the Euros, they did finish in second, get the silver there. So, yeah, you know, they're a good team. Like, there's absolutely no question. I mean, they're the second ranked team in the world. Like, they're really good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I think, yeah, at the beginning of the year, if you'd told me we're going to be seriously talking about Team Schwaller as a gold medal contender, I would have said, really? But, you know, we'll get to maybe somebody who we thought would be that's down further down in the rankings.
All right, let's move on to the fifth ranked team in the world representing Canada. That's Brad Jacobs alongside Mark Kennedy, Brett Gallant, and Ben Hebert. Tyler Tardy is there as the alternate, and he's going to produce some good content for us.
Yeah, give him a follow on the gram.
He's very, very good at that. Brett Gallant, of course, is playing in the mixed doubles at the moment. He's pulling double duties. All of the players on this team have Olympic medals to their names from different teams. Brad Jacobs with the gold back in 2024, Kennedy and Hebert with golds from 2010, and Brett Gallant with the bronze medal from 2022. This team is 39-13 on the season, 6-1 back at the trials in the round robin, beat Matt Dunstone 2-0 in the best of three. Back at the 2025 World Championship, because they are the defending Canadian champions, having won the Brier last year, they went 11-1 in the round robin. The only loss was to Scotland, and then they lost to Scotland again in the semi-final, did beat China in the bronze medal game. But at that event, Ben Hebert, Mark Kennedy, and Brad Jacobs were all the best at their positions in terms of shooting percentage, and Brett Gallant was second, 0.1%. behind Rasmus Rana in the overall rankings there. If you look at that semifinal game against Scotland, Grant Hardy, I think, was the key in that game. He threw up a 96%, and that was just enough an edge for Scotland to get through. But Scott, if you look at the peripherals of this team, the numbers that they're able to put out, I do think that Lammy and Bobby are the best sweepers in the world. But in a draft, if I'm picking second, I'm good with Gallant and Hebert. Like, it's 1 and 1A for sure. And I do think that this is the second favorite team.
Yeah, I'd agree. The numbers do back it up. Their numbers come in basically bang on with Team Schwaller on this season. I would give them a bit of an edge with a number that stands out, and that's their steal defense, only giving up steals at a 9% clip. So that's by far the best in the field. I think the next best is Bruce Mallett that we talked about with 13%. So they are really, really good at limiting damage, cleaning things up when they need to, bailing if they have to. Their hammer efficiency, 47%, a little bit below where we see Maud and Schwaller, but again, really, really, really strong. So their overall sees them tied for second in the combined team index, and that's where I would put them too. Like, if not 1A.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Next up is the host, the Italian team. They are sixth in the world rankings. This is going to be the fourth Olympics for Joel Reyturnaz as the skip. He skipped back in 2006 and 2018 and 2022. Scott, little known fact, I don't know if this has ever come up before. Did you know that Joel Reyturnaz in those 2006 Olympics beat Russ Howard?
Hold on. 20 years ago?
Yeah. It's crazy, right?
Italy beat Canada?
Yeah. I wonder why they never talk about that.
You gotta be kidding me.
Strange, yeah. So fourth Olympics for return as Amos Massaner is the third. He is currently playing in the mixed doubles. Sebastiano Armon and Mattia Giovanella are the rest of the team. Giovanella was the alternate back in 2022, now full-time on the team. Return as in the squad went 3-6 at the games in 2022, 5-7 at the most recent world championship. But the stats were a little bit better. Sebastian Armon was the fifth ranked third, 86.3% for him. That was the best ranking of all the players on the team. So some of the peripherals there were a little better than the results they got at those world championships. They, you know, statistically probably deserved a little better than the 5-7 record. At the Euros this year, they went 6-3, which was good for fourth place. They did give up 12 steals though in their 11 games, and they got forced more than they forced other people. So they weren't scoring at a great rate there at the Euros. So if at the Worlds last year, they should have, based on some of the peripherals, should have done better than 5-7. The peripherals would have indicated they should have done a little worse than 6-3 at the Euros this year. So it kind of all evens out. Overall, though, they are 41-27 on the season. And Scott, the X factor with this team is what, if any, pressure is there in being the host team at an Olympic Games?
Yeah, and we'll see what happens with Amos on the mixed double side too, right? So mm-hmm. we'll see coming into the event. It'll be curious for all the teams that are, you know, double playing. Is almost all of the teams have somebody, but anyway, it's it's going to be, you know, are they able to get off to a fast start knowing that little bit about the ice? Are they going to be tired? If Italy, if they come and do what they do in mixed doubles and just roll, don't lose.
Yep.
Is that, you know, all those extra miles on Amos, does it hurt him for the four-person event? We'll see, right? All in all, though, this team pretty much around the same neighborhood as Switzerland and Canada, little below Team Scotland when it comes to the stats. And I think that the X factor, like you mentioned, is just going to be how will first Amos Messaner coming into this event out of the mixed doubles and the pressure of being the home country. I think given, Sean, that they beat Canada at the host when they hosted in 2006, they're used to it, right? Oh, we're used to being the host country. We've done it before. Nothing special, nothing new here. We're one of the top 10 teams in the world. All good. We can handle it. So,
I mean, a little different though, given that one, Joel Ray-Turnes is the only one who did that. He was the only member of the team who did that back in 2006, and there was no expectations back in 2006.
Yeah, but
right, I mean, there's expectation now, right? They're the sixth team in the world. They've had a pretty good quad, even if the last year and a half has been somewhat down from what it was, but they were the number one ranked team in the world for a while. Like there might, I don't know. My apologies. I'm not fully up to speed on Italian sports media and what they're saying about these games, but there might be some actual expectations here, which is different from host team, everyone's excited to see you, which is what it was in 2006.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair enough. I mean, Joel can, you know, impart the wisdom to his team, but you're right. He can't give them the direct experience until they've got it. So,
yeah. Amos Messaner was only like 6'3 back in 2006.
Wild.
So, I know. Like,
had so much room to grow.
Yeah. Like he was just a 5-year-old 6'3 kid. Actually, I don't know. I don't know how old Amos Messaner is, but. He wouldn't have been that old in 2006.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, Scott, let's move on to the seventh ranked team in the world. That will be this team representing the United States of America, skipped by Daniel Casper. He is alongside Luke Violette, Ben Richardson, and Aiden Oldenburg. Rich Ruinen is on the bench for these guys as the alternate. Some good veteran experience there because Daniel Casper is 24. Luke Violette is 26. Ben Richardson is 27. And Scott, I went to the Grand Slam of Curling website. This is where I got their ages. You know what it says for Aiden Oldenburg beside birth date?
Unknown.
It says NA.
What?
It is not applicable. Aiden Oldenburg was not born, apparently. You put a question mark, you put unknown, we don't, or just leave it blank, but it's definitely applicable. It's, you know, not applicable is the wrong thing to put for a birthday. In terms of appearance too, you know that, I can't remember his name, but the American gymnast from Paris who had the glasses and was the pommel horse guy, ended up on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Aiden Oldenburg, I think, kind of looks like him.
Oh, so he's got a chance to be the breakout star.
He could be a breakout star of the Olympics. Yeah, 100%.
We'll see if Snoop Dogg takes to him.
Yeah, Snoop Dogg will definitely be at the curling at some point.
Oh, yeah.
No question. Yeah, and maybe that'll be enough to get Aiden Oldenburg a birthday. We'll find out. But this is the debut appearance for the four principal players at the event who will be playing. It is a team that does not have a double duty. Corey Dropkin is the male player in the mixed doubles going on right now. This team is 43-25 on the season, of course, winning the American trials, going through Corey Dropkin and John Schuster en route to that. They did have to go to the last chance qualifier out in Kelowna, 5-2 in the round robin there, and beat China 9-4 to get into this event. Scott, this is a very different American team from what we've seen the last couple times. Back in 2018, John Schuster had gone through the trials and tribulations of not getting the full support of USA Curling after the 2014 Olympics, kind of going on his own a bit, putting this team together, coming through, winning the gold medal a little out of nowhere. 2022, wins his way back over Corey Dropkin in the very exciting trials, 2021 trials for the United States, and coming back as the then Olympic gold medalist, the defending champions. How do they respond? Now we got a team making their Olympic debut, young guys, three of them are in their 20s. I assume Aiden is in his 20s as well, but it's just a different vibe now, right? I think given where USA Curling was after the two world championships last year, men's and women's, now you have, like, they weren't qualified. Both men's and women's had to go to the last chance qualifier in Kelowna. And now you got this young team who's new to the scene. They've had a good rise the last couple of USA national championships. Their results have gotten progressively better. Mm-hmm. And now here they are. They've had some good results on tour. And it's just a very different energy, I think, around USA Curling than it was 10 months ago.
Yeah, like a lot more optimism, hey?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and so, you know, I like to dig into the numbers for it. And I think, like, from a vibes perspective, you know, they didn't, like, play super well coming out of that Olympic qualification event. They did play in the Canadian Open back in December, went 3-1 or 1-3 there, and 1-4 at the Players Championship. But yeah, they've got the ability to make all the shots. I'm not confident they'll do it against the top level competition here. Like their stats show pretty well. They're pretty close to Team Norway, which we'll check out next, but their hammer efficiency is higher. Their steal defense leaves a bit to be desired. They're probably giving up a bit too many steals, and but you know, they're managing to force at a pretty reasonable rate. I think it's the changing of the guard for the U.S. curling, and I would be pretty surprised if we look back at the end of the week and they were 9-0. But, you know, if they were 5-4 and in the mix for that last playoff spot, that wouldn't surprise me. Mm-hmm. It's going to be about beating the teams that we've still yet to talk about, right? Beating the right teams. And if they happen to come up and catch one of the front runners, then they'll be in the mix for the playoffs. But I'm not super confident about it.
Yeah, but a fun team to keep track of for sure. All right, let's move down to the 11th ranked team in the world. That is the Chinese side, skipped by Zhao Mingzhu alongside Fei Zhuqing, Ji Chao Li, and Jingtao Zhu. They are 37-29 on the season. This is a difficult team to assess because China did take a step back from international competition following the events of 2020. But for the skip, Zhao Mingzhu, he was the second at the 2010 Olympics in Vancouver. That team went 2-7. He played third in 2014 at the Olympic Games. That team went 7-2 and lost the bronze medal game. Because China had taken a step back internationally, this team did have to go to the last chance qualifier. They went 6-1 in the round robin there, beat Japan in the last qualifying game to get through. Really good peripheral numbers there, 58% hammer efficiency, 68% force efficiency. Very impressive there. They had a good run at the World Championship back in 2025, going 8-4. They beat Norway in the quarterfinal, lost to Switzerland in the semifinal, and lost to Canada in the bronze medal for a fourth place finish. Scott, as much as we just talked about the Americans being maybe a bit of an unknown on this stage, I think China is the biggest unknown in the field, that we haven't seen the country play a lot in this quad. This team in particular came out last year at the Worlds after the women had a great run at the World Championship, the Women's World Championship to qualify. The Chinese men had a really good run, not as good because they didn't qualify, didn't get to the same level, but a very impressive run for them. But again, I would not be stunned at the end of the week to look up and see these guys are 1-8, but I'm not sure I'd be stunned to look up and see they're 8-1 either.
8-1, I would be stunned, but I understand where you're coming from, right? There's such an unknown, and there is a lot of skill there, and they could certainly put it all together this week. Looking at their stats across the board, it's not that much different from Team Casper that we just talked about, right? So that's kind of where I would expect them to be, sort of in the mix for that fourth playoff spot. Maybe like have it secured going into the last round robin draw. But I would be pretty shocked if they were 8-1. That would legit surprise me.
Okay. But they can play. They can definitely play.
Oh, yeah. They can definitely play. Looking like you mentioned their record for the year, right? 42-34 overall. But I've only got them 4-14 against the top 10 teams per doubletakeout.com. So, you know, if they're able to break through and reverse that trend, sure. But I still see them as definitely in that second or third tier.
All right. Next up is the 12th ranked team in the world. That is your defending Olympic champion, Sweden. Nicholas Edin, Oscar Eriksson, Rasmus Rana, and Christopher Sundgren. This is the fifth Olympic Games for Nicholas Edin. He won the bronze in 2014, the silver in 2018, and the gold in 2022. So he's improved every time, Scott. So I guess that means he's going to go win the ski jump or something. Like what's next?
Yeah, what's next for him, right? Yeah. Sean, this hasn't been a great year for Team Edin.
It has not. But they did win the Euros. So they beat Scotland and Switzerland in the Euros to go gold. 8-4 at the last Worlds, lost to Scotland in the quarterfinal. Nicholas Edin was the third ranked skip in that event, 85.3%. But Scott, as you mentioned, given the results this year, not what we expect from this team, and given the injuries that Nicholas has had, this might be a swan song.
It might be, yeah. And going out on top would be fitting for the Viking. Sean, I have this list of stats sorted by combined team index, which takes the hammer factor and the without hammer factor and adds them together. They have the second lowest number of any of the teams in this field for this season.
Oh.
Really struggling to convert with hammer. Stealing and forcing at a pretty good rate, but giving up too many steals given that hammer factor. My points for and against per game is not right, but I bet them, Sean, to win the gold medal at 16-1 plus 1600. Okay. I feel like my bet might have moved the market because they are now 10-1.
Wow. How much did you bet?
$10.
Okay. And that Canadian moved it, that moved it what six thing like from 16 to 10?
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
I moved the Chinese women too, I think. But okay. Yeah.
Scott, like, I will note in our bold predictions, definitely last year we said there'd be a betting scandal. You are not allowed to be the source of the betting scandal and us win that prediction.
Okay. Fair enough. But I just don't know who else is betting Olympic curling. Also, you can now bet to medal. So that's something nice. I might take a look at later. But yeah, like Team Edin, if you look just at the numbers this year, you would say they're a bottom team in the field. Like, but it's Nicholas Edin. Of course he can win, right?
Yeah.
So what do they say? They throw out all the stat books when these two teams get together. Yeah. And that's what they do when Nicholas Edin goes to the Olympics. So I could see them missing the playoffs, but you tell me this team's 8-1, 9-0.
Sure.
I won't be surprised.
All right, Scott, let's move on down to the 16th ranked team in the world. That will be representing Norway. It's Magnus Ramsfeld throwing the fourth stones in the skip. Martin Sesecker, Bendik Ramsfeld, and Gaut Nepstad are alongside. This is a different team than represented Norway back in 2022 when it was Steffen Walstad as the skip. They did represent Norway at the 2025 World Championship, losing to China in the quarterfinal after a 7-5 round robin. Tough week at the Euros this year, went 2-7, gave up 15 steals in those nine games with, of course, a lot of the same teams in the field here. So that's going to be something to watch for them. 28-24 on the season. Scott, this is a tough team in terms of the expectations and where to put them, because it's kind of hard, given the strength of the field, to see a path for them to the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely. It's really tough. I mentioned my points for and against are not working, but what I'm getting is about even. So like the same number of points allowed as they're scoring. Not a combination that you want to be able to score points. The other thing with his team's steal defense, 23%, it's way too high. You're giving up too many steals. You can't do that against a field this talented. And I fear like that will be their kryptonite this week.
Yeah, me too. It's could be tough, but again, they're a team that can give every team in this field a game.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, so, you're right.
Yeah. All right. Next up is the 23rd ranked team in the world. That is Germany. That is Mark Miskatowicz alongside Benjamin Kapp, Felix Mezensal, and Johannes Schürrle. This is all of their debut at the Olympic Games. 26-26 on the season. They went 6-3 back at the European Championship. Missed the playoffs, though, on last stone draw in the tiebreak. But they are the 2024 European Championships. 5-7 at last year's World Championship. But if you look at some of their peripheral numbers from the Euros this year, they only gave up 5 steals in the 9 games, 55% hammer efficiency, 61% force efficiency. Those are some pretty good underlying numbers that, looking ahead to this week, if they play that open, not too aggressive, pick your spots kind of game and can replicate not giving up steals, getting your deuces when you have those opportunities. I mean, they did win the European Championship in 2024, so there's a path for them to the playoffs, I think, more so than Norway when I look at some of the underlying numbers.
Yeah, for me, Sean, it's just not there. So I just misspoke. Team Ramsfell was a steal defense of 20%, and it's Miskatowicz that's 23%. So I just mistransposed those numbers, but 20% is too high, and 23% is higher than 20. Math checks.
Good math.
So yeah, just too high for me. They're going to really need to avoid giving up the steals, and then I don't know if they're going to be able to score enough if they don't junk it up and make it complicated and risk those steals. Right. So that's it. The degree of difficulty on their shots, I think, is just going to be higher than for Team Ramsfells, or than for a lot of the rest of the teams. If they're able to execute, sure. You know, they won a Euros, like you said, they could do it. It's just going to be that much harder for them compared to other teams.
All right. And the last team in the field, it is Czechia. They are the 27th ranked team in the world. Lukasz Klima alongside Marek Chernovsky, Martin Jurek, and Lukas Klipa. They are 32-33 on the season, 4-5 back at the Euros, 6-6 last year at the World Championship. I don't care what this team does this week. I don't think they're going to win. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. This is the coolest story on the men's side, if not in the entire of the Olympic curling. This, to me, is what the Olympics is supposed to be about. That this team, they were the last team out in 2022 at the last chance qualifier. Their last ones out, didn't qualify. They put so much time and effort into those games, into getting to 2022, and did it again for another quad. A lot of personal time, effort, money that they put into this. So now that these four, and I'm slightly biased in that I got to talk to Lukasz Klima a bunch at the Vegas World Championships, and like really just comes across as a good, decent dude. And the fact that Saville's been with him for so long, like also sort of increases my personal bias towards them. But this to me is what the Olympics is about, is that these four guys at the opening ceremony get to walk in with the country's, waving the country's flags, doing that, like they get the whole experience. That's what it's, to me, that's what it's about. This is a cool story. I don't care if they go 0-9. This is awesome. Good for them.
Yeah, good for them. And like you said, they've worked so hard. I would like to see them win a game or two at this event, and sort of get a little bit of validation. Not that they need any, right?
Being there is the validation, I think.
Exactly. They can tattoo those Olympic rings on their chest and be proud to be representing their country, and the work that they've put in, this is the reward. I hope they enjoy the whole week.
All right, so there you go. That is the men's field. We'll hold off and pick our podiums at the end. But to paraphrase Waylon Smithers, Scott, let's bring on the women. All right, we'll start again, going in order of the world rankings. And the top-ranked team in the world is Canada. Rachel Homan is the skip alongside Tracy Fleury, Emma Miskiw, Sarah Wilkes. They are 49-12 on the season. They only lost one game at the Canadian Olympic Trials to Kayla Skerlick there on the Sunday night, I think it was. They are the two-time defending world champions. And up until a week and a bit ago, they were the two-time defending Scottish champions as well. The question, though, with this team and Rachel Homan in particular, this is her third time at the Olympics, back in 2018 on the women's side, 2022 mixed doubles. Neither time was able to medal. Very surprising because she's so good. So Scott, is this the time that Rachel Homan gets over this Olympic hump and finds herself on the podium?
Yeah. Sean, during our look back show from 2025, you played clips of me picking Rachel Homan to win a bunch of events.
Yep.
And shockingly, I was right. picking against her is a fool's errand nowadays. Of course they could lose, right? The path to an Olympic medal is that much more difficult than a path to a Scotties, even a world championship, just because of the eyes that are on you at an Olympics. But I mean, if it's not now for this team, I don't know when it will be. They're peaking, playing outstanding curling. Yeah, they're so good.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm going to pick against them, but I'm stupid for doing that. Like, I don't. If they're not on the podium, that's shocking.
It will be shocking, absolutely. And I think what is fun to watch with Rachel Homan, and we'll see how long it takes if she gets there, when she gets the look in her eyes and she knows she has draw weight. Like Rachel Homan, knowing she can hit the tee line is scary.
Deadly, yeah.
Like, right? She's always going to have the high... a hard one. She's always going to have that pretty accurately, but when she's got draw weight down and she has that look in her eyes that she knows she has draw weight down, that's where things are just, they're not going to be beaten. And that's what she hasn't had in 2018 or in 2022. She just never got to that point with draw weight. And that's where her misses were. And that's where they lost points and lost games.
Yeah. And I think the team that she's got in front of her now, the way that they communicate, the way that they prepare during the practice for getting Rachel dialed into that draw weight, that's different than the last time she was here on the four person side. So when that looks in her eyes, it's going to be really hard to beat.
Yeah. And the dynamic now with Tracy at third, Emma, like they've really settled into it, right? Remember when they first did this lineup and there was some adjustments in terms of the communication. You could see it a couple times in the hack. They're still talking about what the shot is now. Like, they've got the communication locked in. Everyone knows what their role is at various points. Like, it's just it's a very seamless operation at this point.
Definitely, definitely.
All right, let's move on to the number two ranked team in the world that will be representing Switzerland. And it is skipped by Silvana Tirinzoni, who throws the third stones. Alina Patz is your fourth stone thrower. Carol Howald is the second. Selena Witschunke is the lead. They went 8-1 in the round robin back in 2022. Different front end, of course. They lost to Japan in the semifinal, lost to Sweden in the bronze medal game. So they went home unmedaled. Most recently at the World Championship, 11-1 in 2025. They beat China in the semifinal, but lost to Canada, Rachel Homan, in that final. So they are the defending world silver medalist. Similarly to Rachel Homan, though, they are having a wonderful season, 57-9 thus far. As with Rachel Homan, Scott, is this the time that Silvana Tirinzoni gets over the Olympic hump?
If not now, then when, Sean? Yeah. Holy cow, they're playing so well. Yeah. And I think you don't have the stats updated from the International Bernese Ladies Cup.
That's true. Which I took, don't. Place,
took place just this past weekend. You want to guess how they did?
Going to say that they won.
7-0, yeah. Won, dominated. Everyone in that field, their force efficiency plus their steal efficiency. So the amount of times that they're either stealing or forcing is somehow over one. Like, I don't know how that's possible, but it's crazy. I flagged it to see if I can should go back and check my program. They're just like dynamite, playing super, super well here. Their hammer efficiency is like 5 points higher than Holman's even.
Wow.
Steel defense the same. So, I mean, 9 losses. This is like we talked about Rachel Homan, you know, going into the Worlds last year. I think she had 5 losses or something nuts. 9 losses is pretty crazy. I looked through all of their events. The only team that's at this event that they've lost to is Rachel Homan.
Wow.
And Rachel Homan has beat her 3 times. So these are the two heavyweights, in my opinion. I don't think anyone else is really even close. You know, we might get some pushback in a few minutes, but.
Yeah, give me 30 seconds. I'll push back on you.
I think it's between these two teams to win as the favorites. And yes, it's possible for another team to come up and take it in any event where there's a single game elimination. But these two are the betting favorites for the gold medal and for good reason.
Yeah, absolutely. The two best teams this year by far, no question. Mm-hmm. But let me push back to you a little bit with the third ranked team in the world. That is the Korean side. And it is skipped by Kim Eun-ji. Kim Min-ji, Kim Soo-ji, and Seo Yun are the rest of the team. Kim Eun-ji was the lead at the 2014 games for the Korean side, went 3-6 there. This team is the 3-time defending Korean champions. That is very difficult to do at the on the women's side out of Korea. They are the gold medalists at the 2025 Asian Winter Games, bronze medalists at the 2024 World Championship, and they won bronze at this year's Pan Continental Championship. Back at the 2025 World Championship, 10-2 in the round robin, including a win over Rachel Homan, which was the tiebreaker for second place. But then Rachel Homan came back, beat them in the semifinal, and ended up losing the bronze medal to China. This team has played Rachel Homan very tough over the past 2 years. Some of my favorite games of this quad, if not actually my actual, like if I had to pick one favorite game from this quad, it's this team. It's Kim and Homan from the World Championship back in 2024. I don't know, Scott, when this team is on, and they hasn't been as good this year, but when we've seen them on, they can make anything, and they are not scared of those other two teams that we've already talked about. And they'll beat you down with a smile on their face, and they're fun to watch, really talented, have all the shots. This team is I agree. On the season, they haven't been as good as Switzerland, Canada. Like, I'm not going to argue that. But in terms of capability, I think they're there with them.
You're right. They are very close there with them. And you're right, they're not scared, which is part of what you need, right, at this kind of an event. You can't be scared of anybody going in. They have played Tiranzoni, by my quick count, 4 times this year.
Wow, that's a lot.
And have lost to them every time. But, like, somewhat close games. Not like 8-1.
Right.
More like 7-4 or 7-5. So they won't be, like, intimidated being on the same ice as some of these teams, right? They did lose to Holman, but played her pretty tough in the end. Just gave up a couple of big ends that tilted the ice in advantage of the Canadian team. Yeah, they're really good, Sean. Their numbers, their underlying numbers are a pretty clear step below those first two, but in the range with the next teams that we'll talk about at this event. So yeah, the podium should be their goal.
All right, next up is the 9th-ranked team in the world. That is Japan, and it is Yoshimura Sayaki, Onodera Keho, Katana Yuna, Omiya Anna. They are the team from Japan. It is all of them making their Olympic debut. They went 4-8 at the 2025 World Championship. Yoshimura was the 7th-ranked skip, all the way down at 78.3%. The best player on the team was Omiya at 91.3%. That was the 3rd best amongst the leads, which you need your lead to be very effective in this type of field. You have to have the end set up well for you. Biggest career win for this team is the 2021, I would argue, the 2021 Pacific Asia Curling Championship. They are still, 5 years later, the defending Pacific Asia Curling Championship winners. Scott, for Japan, this is a team or this is a country, I think, that has high expectations, I think higher on the women's side than on the men's side for curling. And it is a pretty big curling country. This will get big numbers in Japan when they are on TV. So maybe some pressure for them. But I'll ask the question again. Is this the chance for Japan to get over the hump when it comes to women's curling?
If not, no, not. I mean, they're a nice team. They can probably beat anybody on any given day. But to me, this is where we start. Like, I guess we're going to talk about Anna Hasselberg, but a step below even the Korean team is this team, Yoshimura here. The stats, the steal efficiency is okay. Their force efficiency is okay. Hammer conversion, okay. Like, everything is sort of okay, middle of the pack for the stats. And that shows up in the final ranking, 37-29 on the year. They're not the highest ranked team per double takeout in their country. I think we all know Fujisawa and how their team was able to get on the podium in 2022, a big step for Japanese curling. And so, yeah, like, this team should be aspiring to win the event, right? They should be aiming to medal. I wouldn't be surprised if they do, but I also wouldn't be surprised if they were out of the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough for sure. And yeah, you're right that for a country coming off a silver medal in the women's, but you know, not the same team. So that, and we see this in Canada all the time. What are the expectations of the casual fan at home, and what does that bring? So yeah, it's certainly some questions for them. Absolutely. But when you look at those underlying numbers, Scott, one thing that stands out is that they're not going to beat themselves most games, right? You're going to have to go beat them.
Yeah, that's true.
So they're not going to make big mistakes. So, All right, Scott, this is the Scott Graham special, the 10th ranked team in the world. It is Denmark. It is Madelena DuPont alongside Mathilde Halsey, Jasmine Holterman, and Denise DuPont. Fourth Olympic Games for Madelena DuPont. She played back in Vancouver in 2010, 4-5 there, 1-8 in 2018. But oh, what a one, because that win was over Rachel Homan. 2-7 last time out in Beijing in 2022, 48-18 on the season, 5-7 at the World Championship last year, 5-4 at the Euros earlier this season, missed the playoffs there, but they did win a Euros this quad. At the Euros this year, they did score more multiples than they gave up and stole more points than they gave up steals, but only a 36% hammer efficiency overall. So they played pretty wide open, didn't get too aggressive. But Scott, Madelena DuPont had a magical run at those European championships she won. This could be the last one for her. Who knows? She has a lot of fun out there playing, and it doesn't seem to be anyone coming up to really seriously challenge her in Denmark at the moment. But does she got some magic left in her?
That's the question, Sean. That's the question. And I'm going out to Vancouver, and you know, one of my friends met Madelena DuPont at Vancouver 2010. I'm going to ask him if he has any thoughts on whether she will do well this week, because honestly, I don't know, right? Whatever I say, it's going to be the opposite. So do I even try? Looking at her numbers through the year, or for this year, a lot of games played for this team. You wonder, you know, the positive effects versus the negative of that. But gearing up for this event, getting them in more games against top competition, I think was the priority. The number that stands out to me that I don't like, we talked about it on the men's side, is the steal defense number at 22. It's too many steals to give up in a field this good. So that's what I would watch to be their undoing. They'll hang around the middle of the pack. And if at the end of the week they're there, I don't think we can be surprised anymore.
All right, Scott, another team that we won't be surprised to see. It is Sweden and Anna Hasselberg. They are 11th ranked in the world. Sarah McManus, Agnes Nockenhauer, and Sofia Mabergs alongside. This is the bronze medalist from 2022. They went 7-2 in the round robin, but lost to Eve Muirhead in that epic 12-11 semifinal there in Beijing. Ended up beating Silvana Tirinzoni for the bronze medal. They are, though, the gold medalist from 2018, and as from our annual bold predictions episode, where we always pick her to win the world championship. It's not happened yet. She doesn't have a gold medal from the world championship as yet. Last year went 9-3 in the round robin, lost to China in the quarterfinal, but outshot them 88% to 83% in that game. But it was a 3 in the 10th end for China that was the difference. 29-14 on the season, 8-1s at the European Championship round robin, beat Norway, then beat Scotland. So they are coming in off of a gold medalist, off of a gold medal at the Euros. It was a Swedish sweep back at the Euros in the fall. And if you look at that event, remarkable consistency for this team. Their team shooting percentage by game was 81%, 85, 81, 80, 86, 87, 86, 93, 90. 85% total for the team. That was the best in the field. Is it possible, Scott, that this is the sneaky favorite to win?
Yeah, it is. It is, Sean. Like you've described, not their best year. They've lost 14 games on the year. That's what you said?
Yeah.
I counted 9 of them are to teams in this field. That's where I doubt a little bit, but another 3 of them were also to Isabel Arana. So struggling with her own country, struggling with the teams in this field. The hammer efficiency is really low for them. It's 37%. They're stealing at an okay clip. Their steal defense isn't great. The way that Team Rana is rising in the rankings right now and sort of on the up and up for Sweden. Yeah, this could be Anna Hasselberg's last go. Mm-hmm. But like, I mean, it's like Nicholas Edin, right? How can you pick against Sweden?
It's hard to.
Yeah. The numbers are telling me not to. Uh-huh. But like, they're third favorite in the betting. They're, I guess, as public a team as you'll get when it comes to that. It comes to wagering. So yeah, I'm at a loss for what to do with them, because objectively they haven't played very well this year, but they could do it at any time. So what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. It's both Swedish teams are like this in the four person side, that they haven't had great seasons, but you're kind of leaning on the resume and leaning on the pedigree and leaning on the fact that they're whole season and probably whole two seasons have just been geared to peaking in this moment for this event, and they've both done it before. So yeah, why would we discount them, right?
Exactly.
And again, a bad year for them is a good year for 99% of teams in the world.
Yeah 100%.
So I think the Swedish program in the four person side is the most interesting program to watch, because you have two very experienced teams that could be their last time out. You mentioned Isabella Rana. They're really good. They're a better ranked team than a lot of teams in this field. Losing to them is no shame, certainly. With the internal competition in Sweden, yeah, maybe this is her last one and she says, I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, she's done it all.
Almost. Yeah. Well, almost.
Almost.
Almost. Yeah. So it'll be an interesting team to watch for sure. Mm-hmm. All right, Scott, let's move on to the United States of America. They are 12th ranked in the world. It is Tabitha Peterson alongside Corey Teasy playing in the mixed doubles at the moment. Tara Peterson and Taylor Anderson. Heidi is the front end. Third appearance for Tabitha Peterson. Her second as a skip at the Olympic Games. She went 4-5 back in 2022. That team had Nina Roth on it. So a different lineup here for Tabitha Peterson. This team is 39-21 on the season. They went 5-2 at the last chance qualifier. That got them into a game against Norway, which they won to qualify here. At that event, they had a 47% hammer efficiency, only give up 6 steals in 8 games. So you combine those two things, that's not too shabby, but the level of competition here is certainly going to be higher than it was out in Kelowna. This team was Team USA at the World Championship last year, 3-9 there. So if you kind of take that World Championship and say, ooh, not great, which is why they had to go to the last chance qualifier, but some of the numbers and some of the way they played at that last chance qualifier, you might be a little more optimistic. But again, this is a team that maybe not high expectations for them externally, but I think probably high expectations internally for them.
Yeah, there are high expectations for the team. Looking at the numbers, what it's telling me is, yeah, they're kind of in that same ballpark as Japan, as China, we're going to talk about, sort of in that area. So the way I see the field, their objective is going to be getting into the playoffs. It's going to be tough. Definitely not a given, but they've beaten lots of teams in this field.
Yep.
Throughout their trek, they're not going to be, you know, intimidated by the moment or anything. Some Instagram videos I've seen, it looks like the US curling delegation is having fun.
It's good.
So yeah, this is a team, like, everyone will have to take them seriously, but they're not going to be an easy out, but it's going to be hard for them to string together enough wins to get that playoff position.
No, I agree for sure. But you kind of hope that they stay in contention for a while.
Yeah.
You know,
definitely
for again, I think when USA Curling does well and gets attention, I think that's just good for the sport writ large.
Yeah.
All right, Scott, let's move on to the 16th ranked team in the world. It is China, skipped by Rui Wang alongside Han Yu, Dong Ziki, and Jiang Zheji. This is the same team as 2022, but they did flip the back end. So it was Han Yu back in 2022 who's skipping. Now it's Rui Wang. That team went 4-5 at the Olympic Games, 33-24 on the season. Last year at the World, 7-5, beat Sweden in the quarterfinal, but lost to Switzerland in the semifinal, but came back to beat Korea in the bronze medal game, which is the game that they got, they needed to get into this field without going to the last chance qualifier. The overall wins losses this season aren't necessarily great, but they did go undefeated to win the Pan Continental, which included wins over Rachel Homan. So, Scott, is this a step forward for Chinese curling on the women's side? Do they continue this progression? As we said on the men's side, bit of an unknown because Chinese curling took a step back following 2020, but very impressive at the Worlds last year, very impressive at the Pan Continental, still a bit of an unknown.
Yeah, still a bit of an unknown, and I think that's why people might be discounting them. Looking at the underlying numbers for this season, not, you know, too much of a difference from Team Peterson that we just talked about. Their steel defense is like slightly better, a couple percentage points, but not a huge difference otherwise. But the Pan Continental results, like any team that beats Rachel Homan the way that she's playing and has been playing the last 3 years, you kind of sit up and take notice at that, right? She's not beaten Silvana Tiranzoni, played her twice this year, not beaten her, but she's beaten a lot of other teams to get to where she is. Beat Tabitha Peterson in that same Pan Continental event, has beat other teams that we usually see at the events. I'm thinking Satsuki Fujisawa from Japan. She's beat and she's they're in games with everybody. Like, this is a real dark horse team. Like, I don't know that picking them to win is a smart idea.
Right.
I may have put a few shekels on it.
Right.
But like, they could, right? And yeah, and no matter what happens, like before the 2020 or the 2018 Olympics, right, I don't think anybody saw Korea doing what they did in that event. I think China could be that for this event.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the Worlds last year, the PanCon, like,
Yeah,
they're an impressive team for sure. And Bingyu Wang, like, didn't really come out of nowhere, but it wasn't a super long rise before she won the world championship. So if you're looking at the way Chinese curling has developed their players, they do kind of rocket ship them sometimes.
They do, yeah. Yeah. And
you know, I don't know if that necessarily applies in this case because this is their second Olympics, but they were very young back in Beijing and, you know, 4 years older, difference in the lineup. You're not the home team. You're not under the challenge that was those closed loop Olympics, which gotta be a little disheartening that you're in your home country, you're not getting the crowd, your family can't come and see you. Like, all those things that come with being the home team, they didn't get. And now they can just go play.
Yeah. Yeah, so sort of the shackles are off. Let's see what they can do.
Yeah. All right, Scott, the 20th ranked team in the world will be Team GB, Great Britain. It is the Scottish team of Rebecca Morrison, Jennifer Dodds, who is playing in the mixed doubles, Sophie Sinclair, Sophie Jackson. They are the defending gold medal country for the women's event. It was Eve Muirhead winning the gold medal back in 2022. It has been a change of the guard for Scottish curling, for British curling. Over the last 4 years, this team is 29-21 on the season, 5-4 at the Euros back in the fall, beat Switzerland in the semifinal, but lost to Sweden in that final. Their underlying numbers, though, at the event were great. Seventh best team shooting percentage, 79.6%. 7-5 at the 2025 Worlds, lost to Canada in the quarterfinal. But Sophie Sinclair was the best second in the field. Rebecca Morrison herself was the fifth ranked skip. So there are some signs there that they can play with these teams. And every time they've gone to the Worlds, they've gotten better. And that's a good sign that they're... Mm-hmm. Progression, their growth has been somewhat linear. Step back here and there, of course, it's going to happen to everybody. But the development has been good for this team. The growth has been good. Might still be a little too early for medal expectations. So I'm kind of thinking more in the 2028 range for this, or the 2030 range, excuse me, for this team in terms of medal expectations. But they have demonstrated that they can play with everybody in the field.
Yeah, I would agree. They're going to be in every game. I don't think they're a walkover. And the only problem is the competition at this event is just like a tick higher than the other events they've seen. And their stats on the season have not been great. Aside from the wins and losses, the hammer efficiency is down at 34% with a steel defense of 23, and when you take that into account, that's like an 11 hammer factor, which is quite low. It's not quite the lowest in the event, but it's the second lowest by a long margin,
right?
So that's what they're going to need to do, is to limit the steals, maybe play a little more defensive, and then every chance they have to score their deuce with the hammer, they have to capitalize on it. They can't afford to waste one here or there, because they'll be able to make up for it. They really need to lock in and score those deuces if they're going to make the playoffs. I'd also pay attention to their last stone draw. That's going to be pretty important for this team. And for all the teams, for that matter, that'll be in the middle of the standings. So let's look for that early and see if they can set themselves up to have that advantage at the end of the week.
All right, Scott, we've come to the end of the line with one team remaining, the 29th ranked team in the world. It is the host side, the Italians. Stefania Constantini, currently playing in the mixed doubles. She is alongside Elena Mathis, Giulia Zardini, Lacidelli, and Marta Lo Deserto. They did not qualify for the 2022 Olympics. Of course, Stefania Constantini, though, did come away from those games with a gold medal. They were 4-8 at the 2025 World Championships, but they were the second best shooting team at this year's European Championships, despite going 4-5. So some decent numbers there, despite not getting the results. 31-28 this season. And Scott, everybody loves going into the world champion or the Olympic Games, excuse me, with a clear mind, just a fresh eyes. You're feeling good. There's been no distractions. And that's not the case with this team. Rebecca Mariani was named the alternate for this team, despite the fact that Angela Romani has been with this team for years. And you might say, well, why would they make that change? Well, Rebecca Mariani does have a little bit more diversity in terms of the position she has played. She plays, you know, all over the lineup and can do that. She also benefits from being related by birth to the technical director of Italian curling. And that has created a bit of an uproar that seems to be distracting a little bit from this team and what is going on with them. Like, that's not what you want, is having articles coming out internationally that are talking about this controversy. Angela Romani openly talking about how she feels disrespected by this decision, not only by the decision, but also the way that it was conveyed to her. So, you know, you got tough results over the last couple of years for this team. They had a great coming out of the 2022 games, the 2022-23 season, 2023-24 season, they were pretty good. Last couple of seasons, not so much. And now you have this on top of it, throwing a little adversity, maybe not the greatest of ways to go into the games.
Yeah, not what you want, definitely going in. So, and on top of that, they've not played well in the last couple of years, as you've said, right? Plus, Stefania Constantini, who is the team's like best player by a pretty wide margin, I'd say. You know, she'll be doing the mixed doubles before. So maybe they wanted somebody that, you know, should something happen at the mixed doubles, could step in and skip. I would argue you lose Constantini, your team is not going to win a medal anyway.
Yeah.
She's that important to the team. So yeah, not good optics from the host committee here. Not what you like to see from a team that's trying to block out the noise, as you said. Pretty rough here. I'll add then, digging in a bit, the numbers don't paint a prettier story. They have the worst hammer factor in the field. Hammer efficiency is only 35%, steel defense 25%. Not good. So I think a lot is going to need to break right for this team to come away in contention near the end of the week. Maybe it could, right? Yeah. Maybe this is actually the secret sauce, and Romeu's been their Achilles heel the whole time.
I imagine,
right? But yeah, it's just like a really sour way to get started in this kind of an event for a team that's hosting. And I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see them win three games, four games, but
sure.
I don't think, given the way they've been playing, plus the controversy, that a medal is realistic for this team.
Yeah, definitely going to be a heavy lift for them, 100%. So there you have it, the 10 men's, 10 women's teams in the field for the 2026 Winter Olympic Games. Scott, I have written down my picks already, and for both the men's and the women's, but do you want to go ahead and make yours?
Yeah, we're going podium?
Podium.
Okay, so we'll start with the women because we just talked about them. I think Tirinzoni to win. I'm just so like, they're so good.
Very good.
Holman also so good, but I'm going to predict they face each other in a semifinal.
Okay.
That doesn't make sense, but sure, let's go with it. And then Team Gim. Give me Korea for the third place.
All right. I actually have the same three written down here, but and I agree. I got Canada, Switzerland in a semifinal. I got Canada winning that game and beating Korea in the final. So I'm going to go Canada, Korea, Switzerland. How about on the men's side?
Wow, Sean. Rachel Holman having to slay Olympic demons and Korean opponents
at
the same time. That's
a way to shut up all the haters.
Yes, and I look forward to the celebration at the Ottawa Curling Club.
Yeah.
After. On the men's side, Sean, give me, you know what? We talked about Switzerland, what a good season they're having. Give me them as an upset to win the gold.
Okay.
Over Brad Jacobs with Bruce rounding out the podium.
Team GB in third place. All right, so I'm going a little different there. Not too different, though. I'm going with Bruce Mowat to win. They've just been so good that I feel like I kind of have to go there. So going with Team GB to get in with the gold medal. Then I will go with Canada, Brad Jacobs, silver, Italy. I think comes away with some hardware here. I'll go Joelle Reyturnaz in the bronze medal spot. So Scott, you're going with the Swiss sweep of the four-person games.
Yeah, I think it's sort of a fitting conclusion to the quad, to have all of them. That like the Swiss has sort of dominated the women's side of the quad. It kind of makes sense to me that they win the Olympic gold after missing out in 2022.
Yeah.
And on the men's side, I'm just going to try to ride the hot hand. And I know really no one's hotter than Bruce Mowat, but Yannick Schwaller showed well in that last event. Team Jacobs did not show well in that event. I don't think they won, if I'm correct. And so that is the little edge that is the reason why I'm taking those.
All right. So there you have it. Those are our podium picks for the Olympic Games. Again, the event itself, the curling, the four-person curling kicks off Wednesday night, the 11th of February over in Italy. The semifinal game on the men's side will be Thursday night, the 19th in Italy. The women's semifinals will be Friday, the 20th. Bronze medal game for the men's also on the 20th. Saturday, the 21st brings the men's gold medal game and the women's bronze medal game. And Sunday, the 22nd, day of the closing ceremonies, that is going to be your women's gold medal game. So enjoy, everybody. This is an event that doesn't come along very often, every 4 years, obviously. So do enjoy it. Enjoy all the action there from Italy. I said it last week, I'll say it again. The feed is from the IOC. Don't get mad at CBC. Don't get mad at NBC. Don't get mad at NHK. Don't get mad at BBC or whoever shows it in the UK. It's not their fault on the images. If the play-by-play stinks, that is their fault. But the audio or the video is not their fault. So bear that in mind. It's the world feed. The people who are doing it usually are not people who do curling all the time, so it's not going to look the same as it usually does, but bear that in mind and enjoy the games. This is fun. The Olympic Games are supposed to be fun. Put all the IOC stuff aside and just cheer on the athletes and forget about the people who organize it. Enjoy it. This will be a good time, hopefully.
Yeah, it'll be fun, Sean. It'll be fun. And I got to clear my schedule so I can watch some of this.
Yeah, a lot going on. So we will be back with you next week. We'll talk about what's been going on in the four-person game, the four-person games as they've been going on. We'll also do a recap of the mixed doubles, talk about who stands atop the podium there with the gold, silver, bronze medal, who comes away from the mixed doubles as medalists. So if you want to hear that one, plus everything else we'll have going on in the season of champions. We still got a Briar to go to. We still got two world championships. Will be a lot of fun through the spring. So please do subscribe wherever you get your podcast, like, rate, comment. All that good stuff helps other people find the show, keeps us growing. Head on over to GameOfStonesPod.com. Past episodes are there, plus a link to the merch. We are on the socials at Game of Stones Pod, Game of Stones Podcast on Facebook. And if you want to let us know what you want to hear on the show, GameOfStonesPodcast@gmail.com. Scott, you said you're going out to Vancouver. That throws off your time zones for this by 3 more hours. So you're 9 hours behind instead of the 6 that you would be if you had been here in Eastern time.
Yeah, it's really messing with me, you know. We'll see what we can do, right? I got a lot of stuff on the go out there. I'm hopefully going to find some time to be able to watch the games, but if not, I've got the DVR set ready to watch on demand.
Yep.
And Sean, you know, we've been going so long. I think we're pretty much out of time, but next time we'll get to my Olympic related curling story from my Christmas trip.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. We'll do that next time.
Yeah. Apologies to your story. We ran out of time. We'll get to it next time.
It happens.
It happens. You know, hopefully we'll definitely find time next time for that one. So again, enjoy the games, everybody. We'll be back with you next week, but until then, keep those brooms on the ice and don't dump that intern.
Make the final.